Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12. Last two verses of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12. Let's pray before. Father, we bow before your holiness. We lift up our voices to thee, O God. We lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Father, we know that our help comes from you. You're our God. You are our all in all. We thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for his great love for us. Thank you that you so loved the world that you sent him, Father, to die for our sins. Bless us, Father, in your word tonight. I pray that you would undistract our minds. I pray that you would help us. Lord, may we magnify you in our thoughts. And Father, may we honor you by hearing and obeying your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 13, as Solomon closes Ecclesiastes, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It's okay if it's not working. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So the conclusion of the whole matter. So what is the whole matter here? The whole matter to which Solomon referred, I believe, to be everything that he had beheld and considered and pursued after in his life, in his earthly life, while he was king in Israel. The whole matter is the sum, total, and entirety of all that he had learned, of all that he had possessed, everything that he had by wisdom applied his heart to know and experience as king in Israel in this lower world. In fact, let me recap your minds. Back up to chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 12, and we'll read to chapter 2 and verse 11. This kind of gives you a beginning marker at the thoughts of Solomon in his beholding, in his searching, in his getting. He says in verse 11 of chapter 1, verse 12 rather, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven, in the lower world. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. It's distressing, Solomon said to me. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. That which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate. I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. Very distressing, he says. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So you can see some of what Solomon discovered in the lower world among fallen and sinful men, even in himself. And as we go through the book of Ecclesiastes, and as we have gone through it, we've seen the things that he beheld, and we see that this phrase, it was all vanity and vexation of spirit, we see that throughout the book. It is of man's desire to be fulfilled in this world. Verse 1, chapter 2, he said, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, or I will test you with mirth. Therefore, Solomon enjoyed pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? What's it good for, basically? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, and yet acquainting my heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made pools of water to therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle, all that were in Jerusalem before me, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasure of kings and of provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. All my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Some would read this and deduce that Solomon departed from the Lord for a time. See, he said, whatever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all of my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. There was no profit in any of it. Here's the bottom line up front. I had it all, Solomon said. My conclusion, none of it ever brought any real satisfaction to my soul. And what I think troubled Solomon more than anything, which I think he finally realized in his latter days, was that even after he had been constantly disappointed with what he got in the world, of all his riches, of all of his gardens, of all of his servants, he kept seeking satisfaction in it. He kept going back to it. Solomon's life, beloved, is a lesson and an example for us. I believe God had allowed Solomon to gain the whole world to teach us that nothing in this world can ever satisfy and fulfill our higher nature and our souls but God. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. At the end of Solomon's life, this troubled and distressed his soul. This was the first part of what Solomon learned and, as he said, concluded about pouring your whole life into the lower world, as many do. They pour their lives into this world. The second part of Solomon's conclusion, of course, he says, fear God and keep his commandments. He says back in verse 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Now, for believers, to fear God does not mean that we view God as a tyrant. We do not view God as a cruel taskmaster. He is neither of those. Yet, though we love and adore God as his children, we should also be, in a sense, terrified of him. Behold the terror of the Lord. Consider Luke chapter 4. I'll just read it to you. You can turn there if you wish. But there is that aspect of our understanding God that, yes, we revere him. We trust him. We love him. We pray unto him. We approach unto him by faith. But there is also that aspect of God in which he terrifies us. Luke chapter 12, verse 4, words of the Lord Jesus in Luke 12 and verse 4. He says, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. The book of Hebrews says that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I don't know about you, but I believe that Christ has saved me from my sins. I believe I am washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is still a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is still a fearful thing for me to consider that I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. To us as servants of God, Understand, to fear God is to love God, to honor God, to worship God, to revere and highly exalt Him in our lives. How is that seen? How is the fear of God seen in us? Have you ever thought of that? You've heard people use the term, he's a God-fearing man, she's a God-fearing woman. Well, how do you know that? Well, you know that because they keep His commandments. Fearing God is seen by keeping God's commandments. It should lead and must lead us to humble obedience to Him. John chapter 14. So Solomon's teaching us this is the conclusion of the whole matter. You could get everything that you would want in this world. You could have it all. You could build gardens. You could have servants. You could have 700 wives and princesses. You could have everything. Land, titles. You could be the king of the civilized world. And yet none of it will ever satisfy the soul. Not anything in this lower world will satisfy the soul. Only fearing God and keeping His commandments, beloved. Only God can do that. And this is the pathway by which we get there. We fear God. We revere God. I'll tell you in a minute why God is owed that. But notice, it says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. Look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Not just he that hath my commandments. There's a lot of people that have the commandments. But he says, he that hath them and keepeth them, he or she is that one that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. You see how repetitively the Lord keeps saying, this is what obedience looks like. This is what love to me looks like. It looks like obedience to me. Look, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And so, beloved, as servants of God, to fear God means to love God, to honor God, to worship God, to revere and highly exalt Him, but also to depend upon and trust Him, all of which should lead to our humble and glad obedience to the Lord. The writer of Hebrews says, without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. To not believe God is to not believe that He is. And to not believe that He is to disregard and dishonor Him. Beloved, we should never have those thoughts of God. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Turn back to the minor prophets. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. This is a song we sing, actually. And I know you've heard this passage before. And so, as we read here, Micah 6:8, the scriptures teach us this. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. You cannot walk humbly with thy God unless you walk in obedience to thy God. Psalm 130, just keep going back to the Psalms. Psalm 130, we're talking about fearing God and keeping His commandments. Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared, that thou mayest be revered, that thou mayest be honored. Psalm 112, just back up one more. Psalm 112. In verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man, that word blessed means happy, is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Do you see how fear is coupled with delight? Psalm 111, you're right there. Look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That word beginning means the genesis of wisdom. That's what it means. The fear of the Lord is the genesis of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Beloved, this is the only way mortal humans will ever be satisfied and fulfilled in this lower world, or as Solomon wrote, under the sun. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, what did Solomon mean by the whole duty? What did he mean by this is the whole duty of man? Listen, only God can make fallen, sinful humans whole in this lower world. Apart from fearing God and keeping his commandments, there is no joy, there is no fulfillment, there is no satisfaction in this life. The world cannot, nor will it ever satisfy the human soul, which the human soul was created in the image and likeness of God for God. So do you see how the world will never satisfy your soul? Because you were created for God. Now, sin wrecked that and wreaked that, but sin will never satisfy the soul. The world will never satisfy the soul. God is the only one that can ever satisfy the soul. God created us in his image and his likeness to fellowship with him, to commune with him, to enjoy him forever, beloved. This was Solomon's conclusion of the whole matter. So understand here that the Hebrew word here, when it says the conclusion of the whole matter, the word whole in both places here means everything. The conclusion of the whole matter, everything. What's the whole duty of man? It means whole means everything. It means totality. It means enough. It means all. And beloved, only God can give you your soul's everything. Only God can do that. Only God can give you your soul's all. Only God can give you your soul's enough. Because the word whole means enough as well. Fallen humans will never be whole. They will never be whole in the world apart from fearing God and keeping his commandments. Therefore, Christian, work, labor, and apply your heart with the wisdom that God has given you in his word to remember now, today, your Creator, whatever age you are. Don't waste your time, your talents, and your energy in the world to get more of the world and its temporary and sinful pleasures. That's not the Christian life. Child of God, you're not made for the world. We need to understand that. You're not made for the world. You're made for heaven. God has remade you. Yes, you were born lost, but God has renovated you. He's born you again. You've been born again unto a lively hope. You're a new creature in Christ. You no longer love the world. You're made for heaven. You're made to serve God. You've been remade. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you and I should walk in them. So apply thine heart, brethren, by wisdom to God's commands. Make that your whole life duty. Make that your whole life duty, because that's the only way you'll ever be whole. Then you will be wholly, wholly, you will be wholly satisfied in this life that God has given you under the sun in the lower world. That's the only way you'll ever be satisfied in the lower world, and it's the only way to find the pathway to the upper world, above the heavens, brethren. And so apply thine heart to wisdom. Apply thine heart to the commands of God. Make it your whole life duty. Only then will you be wholly satisfied in this life. Therefore, fear God, keep his commandments. For as it is written in our final verse, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God will judge every work God will judge every word. We know the scriptures. Jesus says that. We will give an account for every idle word. Every word that we have spoken. Every idle word we shall give an account of. And he says here, every secret thing. So God will judge every word, every work, every secret thing that each of us have done in this life. The day of judgment will reveal. The day of judgment will uncover. It will unmask who we are, beloved. And so fear God and keep his commandments. Psalm 90 and verse 8, just listen. The scripture says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. The psalmist in Psalm 19, brethren, he says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Let me not sin with a high hand. Presumptuous sins. Do you know in the Old Testament there was no sacrifice for presumptuous sins? Do you know that? There was no sacrifice. You look up that Hebrew word, the presumptuous sins, it means to sin with a high hand. There was no sacrifice for those. Beloved, the day of judgment will reveal or uncover what we have been in our lives. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I flee from thy spirit or from thy presence? We cannot, brethren. We should not desire to. And so search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, any secret sins in my heart, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know why secret sins are so dangerous? Do you know why? Because nobody knows about them. And if nobody knows about your sin, you can't be rebuked for them. It's just you and the Lord. And so, beloved, don't coddle, don't embrace secret sins. As the psalmist says, let them not have dominion over me. Acts 17:31, God shall bring every work into judgment, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, and that man is Jesus Christ. It's the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 2. And so, beloved, back to Ecclesiastes, and we'll close. Ecclesiastes. So Solomon has come to the end of his writing. He has concluded the whole matter, everything that he has learned in the world. And it comes down to this: fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Beloved, this is the only way that we will be made whole. It's the only way that we will be kept whole. And so I pray God would bless the preaching of his word tonight. Let's dismiss in prayer. Lord, we pray that you would have mercy upon us. Help us, Lord. I pray that what has been said tonight is magnifying to your name. I pray that we would have a very high view of thee, O God. I pray that we would revere you. I pray that we would worship you. I pray that we would honor your great name, Father, in our own lives. I pray that we would obey your word with gladness, O God, with joy, willingly, O God. I pray that whatsoever we would do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Help us to know that we serve the Lord Christ. We do not serve a cruel taskmaster. We serve a most gracious and long-suffering God, a merciful and a compassionate God, a God that has passed by our transgressions for the sake of thy blessed Son who has died for our sins, for our great substitutionary sacrifice. Thank you so much, Father, for all that you've given us, for all, Father, that we possess in Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Lord, there's nothing like it. And so, Father, what a What a joyful place to be. What a place of satisfaction to be. Lord, as Solomon, I think, saw it, there's no other place of satisfaction than to be safely under the shadow of thy wings, O God, as thy servants, O God, as we willingly come to the doorpost and we desire you to bore our ear through with the awl, because, Father, we want to be your servants forever and ever and ever. And so, Lord, we thank you, and we praise your holy name. Bless your people this night, Father. And I pray you would help us, Father, to go forth in the remaining days of the week, as many days as you'll give us, in honor and glory to your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.